Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself for the wonderful information you're going to receive. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this evening we're going to talk more about the socialist enterprises and front groups that the environmentalists have been using for quite some time. Now, I spoke to you last week about the Convention on Biological Diversity and how it would lead to a borderless one-world government. But tonight I'm going to give you some more of warnings, if you will, from them, from their own mouths. Just some selected passages, etc., of what their intentions are, these green advocacy groups, in many cases. I know, as well as you do out there, thinking people, and even those of you who are clouded by this socialist front idea, and may be involved in some of these groups, many of you can, if given the proper information, think analytically. And think about the ramifications of what some of these groups are doing. Now, some of these groups have a very small smattering of members that are true conservationists, that want to utilize the land, the renewable resources, timber, minerals, all that. Now, minerals, some people would not classify that as renewable. Others do. I would, in the sense that iron ore, as it's foundried, processed, utilized in its final form, whether it be an alloy or straight, it can be recycled. Now, you have to realize, so ladies and gentlemen, that there are somewhere in the Sierra Club some good members. And somewhere in Nature Conservancy there's some good members. Generally, they are the lower ranking members or just members that donate, thinking that these groups actually go out and do massive tree plantings and fix stream beds, things like that. Although most of their money does not go to that whatsoever. It goes to administration and lobbying. They don't actually do hardly any field work, as a matter of fact. Now, so this isn't a jibe at you. If you're a true conservationist, not a green advocacy member, not a radical environmentalist that would just as soon see everybody brought down to a third world nation status under a socialist world government, but you need to look around and realize what you're involved in and what you may be donating time and money to. While you're the one out there plodding in the crappy weather, actually planting maybe some trees in an area that needs it, or wading up to your hips in cold water trying to fix a stream bed, you need to look at the diversion of the millions and millions and billions of dollars from your parent organizations and where it's going in their agenda. because they will just as soon squash you like anybody else that gets in their way. Just like the Nazi leadership, they had lots of rats all over Germany and around Europe that thought they were in good, they were safe, because they were helping them. Hey, when they were done with them, they got shot in the back of the head just like anyone else. So think about that. Now, tonight, so I would call tonight's broadcast something like warnings from our enemies, or who our enemy is, if you want to classify it in your notebooks. I know many of you keep notebooks. I'm going to have a title roughly like that on the website. But you'll get the gist. Now I'm going to give you some exact quotes and years after our musical break. And then, also, one of the main ramrods on the worldwide scene is Maurice Strong, and I think, although I gave some overview of Maurice Strong in last week's series, it was a 3 parts on the Convention on Biological Diversity, I'll take them from their own notes, I didn't have to make anything up, because their own literature is thick enough, you don't have to add to it. But Maurice Strong is really a world socialist, and his worldview of how to take care of the masses of the people through genocide and forced relocations are the same things that some of his fringe groups get mad about when you talk about the American Indian and whatnot. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of you, especially some of you organizations that are tuning in, I don't expect very many of you to listen very intently or listen to the facts and numbers, but I know that like the Forest Service and ADL, who's observing us heavily, and it's proven by our server and who's downloading the shows, because we see the terminals they're going to, I would hope that some of you with some common sense realize we are not your enemy. We are simply trying to bring out the truth at hour of the time in a way so that all sides of an issue can be discussed and debated, and what is best for this country and people's freedom all around the world can be discussed in an open forum, not behind closed doors with agendas written by special interest groups that are almost always centered around control. Control via licensing, control via legislation, control via food control, property control, travel control. Surely, those of you out there enjoy your freedoms that you have left. And can you only imagine what was had if you're not into history or didn't talk to your elder relatives much, what they had 50, 60 years ago. Look at what we've lost in the last century alone. And that freedom creates prosperity. It's a proven fact. In governments throughout history around the world, it creates prosperity. And the more government control there is, the more stifling of the free market, the more market subsidization, the more government grants, the more control through those grants, the less productive a nation becomes. And also they lose their freedom. The will to strive to succeed disappears when you know you're going to get that welfare check, whether it's a corporate handout, a grant, or outright what we typify as welfare, in your mail every month, and you no longer have to strive to do anything great in life. And hence, you become docile in all aspects. Look at multi-generation welfare families and companies and organizations, and you'll see that almost all of them don't really do anything beneficial for society. Now, after this quick musical break, which I hope you take the opportunity so you don't miss any of the core programming, get your notebook, get something to write with, what have you, something to drink, water, tea, whatever your drink of choice is, and be ready to write down facts, dates, quotes, people, acts, agendas, heavily, just like last week.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. For her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory.
glory shall rest on us all. From Colorado, Kansas, and the Carolinas too, Virginia and Alaska, from the old and to the new, Texas and Ohio and the California shore. Tell me who could ask for more, for here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Yet she's only as rich as the poorest of the poor, only as free as the padlocked prison door, only as strong as our love for this land, only as tall as we stand. For here's a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. For her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. For her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I appreciate your massive amount of respect and polite emails on the programming and compliments. Now, remember, though, those compliments don't keep us going or the Constitution going. And although they're greatly appreciated, you need to remember, you need to do something. It doesn't just end when the hour's over. That can't be your hour of freedom every day and free thought and enterprise and then go back and make sure you catch your Fear Factor on time or America's Next Top Model or what have you on TV and shut out the world and go back to, well, they said we had to do it, so it must be right because they're the government. I'm sorry, we are the government. All power is vested in the people. Until a majority or even just a vast amount of people get that back in their head, you are walking down a path to slavery. All great republics and governments have eroded through those very same processes. People get lazy. They take for granted someone else will do it for them. They no longer need to do it for themselves, and they end up trapped. And it may not be you. Maybe you say, well, hell, I'm 70. I don't care. I'm not going to be around. What about your children and grandchildren? What about your churches, your neighbors, your communities? Now, for many years, our enemies of free ownership, free use of our lands, our very rights, rights to move, rights to travel, right to live, the way we will, the way we have to worship in a religious sense, whatever that might be, have told the American people their agendas. But people sit back and get in that lazy mode I just discussed and think, well, someone else will do it for them, or that can't happen here. That was said by millions of Chinese before the agrarian revolution. That was said by millions of Cambodians, Poles, Armenians, Jews, Germans, Turks, you name it. It can happen anywhere if people allow it. But let's look back at some of these key remarks, and we're going to cover this and an extensive history of who Maurice Strong, world socialist, is. Now, in 1966, as far as a warning, Robert Weaver, he was in a time, and I told you about the whole New Deal society. And I'm not talking about Franklin Delano Socialist Roosevelt's New Deal. I'm talking about Johnson's revamping of it. Now, this was already in the works in Washington before he took office as president and remained through there, heavily promulgated all the way up and through Jimmy Carter. Now, they're not the only ones, don't get me wrong, but it had a huge push forward. the mid-60s to the late 70s, and it got entrenched. Now, Robert Weaver, while he was Department of Housing and Urban Development, he was the chief of it, he said regional government means absolute federal control over all property and its development, regardless of location, anywhere in the United States, to be administered on the federal official's determination. It would supersede state and local laws. Through this authority, we seek to recapture control of the use of the land, most of which has already been given to the people, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, does that give you an idea of the very mindset and the workings in Washington? And in a Sierra Club in 1974, we cannot implement our agenda until we have total and absolute control of all land use in America. And at the United Nations Conference on Human Settlements in Vancouver, British Columbia, June 11, 1976, a resolution favoring restrictions on private property ownership was endorsed by U.S. representatives to the conference. It called for land redistribution, more equitable distribution of wealth, and contained this quote, "Land, because of its unique nature and the crucial role it plays in human settlement, cannot be treated as an ordinary asset, controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private ownership also is a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes." End quote. What they're saying is, the free market and your freedom of choice does not matter. They're calling it inefficient. It needs to be controlled by the government under a socialist utopia, redistribution of wealth, redistribution of properties. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You look at every experimental test bed of socialism and communism throughout history, and it all gets gathered into the hands of a few again. The only difference is they rule with an iron fist and kill you when they feel like it, randomly. So, get the gist. Socialism is not a utopian paradise. In 87, Nature Conservancy stated, "In the 60s and 70s, we're helping formulate land use policy. We are helping implement those policies now." And the director of the Sierra Club in 88 said, "By year 2000, we shall be in a position to implement our agenda." And they were, because they were referring to Agenda 21, if you go on and read the rest of the story. That is the environmental agenda for the 21st century. Agenda 21 of the UN has been covered at length here on the Hour of the Time. And let's look at Earth in the Balance, Al Gore's book. He said, "We must make the rescue of the global environment the central organizing principle for civilization. This means using every policy and program, every law and institution, every treaty and alliance, every tactic and strategy, every plan and course of action to halt the destruction of the environment and to preserve and nurture our ecological systems. Minor shifts in policy, marginal adjustments in ongoing programs, moderate improvements in laws and regulations, regular offering in lieu of genuine change, these are all forms of appeasement designed to satisfy the public's desire to believe that sacrifice, struggle, and a wrenching transformation of society will not be necessary." Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. What he is saying is, unless you want to accept the fact, they're going to force the fact that you will go through a massive, you could say, paradigm shift, as many of the New Agers do, to accept these massive changes in your very lives and cultures. Now that, in fact, his book, Al Gore, Earth in the Balance, those exact 269 and 274 is where I got that from. And in U.S. News and World Report, he said, Al Gore again, "The year 1996 will be pivotal in environmental history. 1996 will mark the beginning of an era of environmental activism." And that is true. He was right. Now, the Oregon Natural Resource Council, Andy Kerr, quote, "We have ended the dreaded communism. We must now end the dreaded capitalism. We have to use less. Cutting our consumption by 75% is a very reasonable and relatively easily obtainable goal." I would ask these very groups, do they cut their lobbying consumption down any? All those flights? Do you walk? Do you use horse-drawn wagons to go to your lobbying meetings? I doubt it. And use lots of plastic implements made in communist countries from petroleum-based products. See, ladies and gentlemen, they're almost all of these green advocacy groups, that's their own term, GAG, are outright hypocrites. I knew ardent Sierra Club members, have been in their houses in California, that all the while they were striking and protesting to get rid of redwood logging and oak usage in the timber industry. In their very homes that I walked in were beautiful oak front and rear French doors, redwood saunas, redwood decks around them. See, once they get theirs, it's okay to ban everybody else's. Like Feinstein on guns. Nobody can get a permit but her and her bodyguards. Now, former president of the National Audubon Society, Peter Burrell, said, "We reject the idea of private property." That's it, ladies and gentlemen. And in Wild Earth magazine in 1992, and that's the magazine, Dave Foreman wrote for him, and it outlined the Wilderness Project, or Wildlands Project, excuse me. "What you have here is a turning back and a going forward. It is a bold attempt to grope our way back to October 1492 and find a different trail. I am sure the model will change subtly as it is applied throughout the extraordinary variety of natural ecosystems and human social systems in North America." Ladies and gentlemen, please don't call when I'm broadcasting. Sorry for that delay. I undid the lines. When the phones are open, I'll announce it. Now, again, from Dave Foreman, Wildlands Project. Now, this project was outlined in the publication Wild Earth Magazine. And in that foreword in 1992, he wrote, again, "What you have here is a turning back and going forward. It is a bold attempt to grope our way back to October 1492 and find a different trail. I am sure the model will change subtly as it is applied throughout the extraordinary variety of natural ecosystems and human social systems in North America." And John Davis, writing for Wild Earth magazine, about their role in the Wildlands Project, stated, "Does all the foregoing mean that Wild Earth and Wildlands Project advocate the end of industrial civilization? Most assuredly, everything civilized must go," end quote. Now, those who seek world control and world domination through socialism, the end of individual nation states and borders, regional governance, bio-regional governments, by the way, universal religion, universal buying power, know the inherent and unstoppable power of controlling land use and ownership and travel and movement over it, food and food-producing capabilities. And they also know how to use the grant-making abilities of organizations, government laws and regulations to achieve their goals, ladies and gentlemen, of controlling people. Now let's look at the 1995 UN Fourth World Conference on Women. Now I told you the women movement under the UN, which is fine, it's great. I don't think it's proper to burn up your wife with gasoline rather than go to court and get a divorce. In some countries it's practiced. I don't think it's proper to maim a woman's genital area to ensure her virginity until she's ready to be handed off to an arranged marriage. I don't think it's proper to round up women and force them into prostitution. Or behead them is the alternative. Burn them up with gas, what have you. Stone them to death. I don't think that's proper, but they used the women's movement under the UN, proven fact, to accelerate people control. They talk about issues that have nothing to do primarily with women. And in 1995, again at the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing, China, Catherine Bertini, executive director of the UN World Food Program, said, "Food is power. We use it to change behavior. Some may call that bribery. We do not apologize." Get the hint, ladies and gentlemen? They are quite blatant in their warnings to us, in their threats. And you almost can't call them threats. They're promises if they get their way, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to become proactive. This isn't a matter of closing down areas of national forest to keep it as a game preserve. This is an utter manner of controlling populations. That is the underlying theme in all of these treaties and agendas. Now let's look at Project Global 2000. Those who wanted to supposedly develop a more equitable, sustainable, and inclusive world order. In the World Core curriculum, which is the basis for the Education 2000, is part of the propaganda effort being promoted in our schools to our children. It purports to promote growth of the group idea so that group good, group understanding, group interrelations, and group goodwill replace all limited self-centered objectives that interfere with the group consciousness. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, when they speak of this, they're not talking about a baseball team on a junior high campus getting along as team members. They are talking about give up all your individual rights for the good of what is most equitable for the rest of the group. Ladies and gentlemen, the communal idea has consistently failed throughout history. So has communal socialism or communism. It does not work. If you ignore these things, if you're old enough to have not been subjected to this type of modern-day public fool system, education, don't think that just sitting back will fix things. Every day, we lose more people that think freely. Every day. And with each passing generation, we have a more indoctrinated generation who doesn't know what they've lost because they never got to see it, taste it, feel it, enjoy it. Now, there is a major part of the world propaganda effort they spoke about right there in their educational system for Project Global 2000 to augment and change people and alter the lifestyles to adopt a lifestyle of peasantry. Or we're all going to die. That's always the ultimatum. Many of the green advocacy groups swore that by 1981 we would have to wear gas masks in all the metropolitan areas of the United States due to pollution. Acid rain was the big hit for a while. Global warming, ozone depletion, use of fertilizers, DDT, use of chlorine and products that contain chlorine, timber harvesting and uses of resources from farming, mining, cattle, sheep grazing, bans on freon, and hundreds of other scary propaganda tales are turned out daily by the gags. And most part are swallowed hook, line, and sinker by people who do not do their own investigation. And this fear is a powerful thing to control. And when they control and manipulate fear, they manipulate perception and policy. And even after these policies, over and over again, are proven through real science as falsehoods, the media with major grants from the gags continues to promote them. And people are slowly, slowly propagandized, manipulated, to think that only the hierarchy of upper echelons of government and non-government organizations in the UN are the only ones who can solve the problems that they claim to have discovered. It's the Hegelian dialectic, ladies and gentlemen. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That's what it's about. Create a problem. Expose a solution that will then lead to your desired outcome. Hegelian dialectic. And the aim of these people and this propaganda machine funded with billions of dollars is to convince whole populations and entire nations to give up your freedom to government control voluntarily. And that is always the easiest way for them. Win the soft war, as it's called. And ladies and gentlemen, you must be proactive and fight the soft war, because you don't want, trust me, to fight the hard war. I, like millions of others, have been there and done that. It is not pretty and will not be pretty in your own streets. You'll wish then that you had fought the soft war and at least gave it an attempt to come to an equitable solution through common sense and knowledge and research. Now these same people, their plea is constantly, give us authority. And of course, with no rights to appeal from citizens or governments, are so tied up in bureaucracy and red tape that it's next to impossible to appeal. And if you give them this authority, they'll save the world for you. You won't have to do anything. You can sit back and relax. Everything will be done for you. That is the credo, ladies and gentlemen, of world socialism. And I hope you get that through your head. Because if you don't, you will greatly pay one day and suffer like no suffering's been seen in the history of the planet. Most people nowadays are not as strong and tough and forthright and willing to make it on their own as once were on this planet. Morals have decayed to a great extent around the world. Stealing from your neighbors because you think you deserve it or someone owes it to you. Or looting or robbing or killing, whatever you need to get what you want. In most cases, people will rationalize that with they are owed something. And will have no qualms about how it affects those around them, rather than getting through a depression together with victory gardens and what have you. Do you get the gist, ladies and gentlemen? It won't be a pretty one if we lose the soft war, and that's what we're fighting right now. But the simple fact is, you need to be prepared and actively prepared, ladies and gentlemen, for the hard war. Because it, with almost all certainty, is coming. And you'll see why. Through the foundation of these broadcasts, last week and the week before and the next week, when I lead up to giving you the timelines from every aspect of society I can think of, whether that be economic, social, religious, political, why they have targeted a certain 2-year time span. And I'm also going to tell you what things to watch out for the charlatans who are going to take advantage of that, like the lying agent provocateur, so-called patriot talk show host out there, who claim to have been warning you about Y2K, all the time selling you overpriced food supplies, generators, and gas masks that they knew all along you did not need. They ripped you off, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you remember that. Because one day they're going to come around with their handout again. And you need to remember that and slap that hand right away from you. Keep your distance from those who took advantage of that whole Y2K joke. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to a quick musical break here. Get my next set of notes here in order. I have them stacked up for throughout this broadcast. And then we'll proceed on with who is Maurice Strong? And why is he important to their movement? Why is it important you know him? Because he is an enemy of freedom.
In a study, ladies and gentlemen, of mind control and psychological warfare, it is not enough to simply review the latest technology of coercion, the most recent gadgetry and techno junk littering the hardware and supply depots of governments and so-called cults. You see, far more dangerous than these appliances is the praxis behind them. Ages old, the underground current which informs the modern project and this modern era. You see, for life in our modern era is little more than life in an open-air mind control laboratory. To transform the mass of targeted percipients plugged into the electronic and digital pageantry of the establishment's system of things,
gentlemen. Again, your host here, Doyle Shamu, with the Hour of the Time. And tonight's show might be called something like Who Our Enemy Is, or Warnings from Our Enemies in this environmental push, this land, this food production, this very issue of freedom of choice to live where and travel where and how and when you want to. These people are absolutely disgusting when you think about their agenda. And remember, they think that they're doing all this, saving all this, and they're going to justify it that we did it and we're doing it for the future generations. That's about like Janet Reno saying that they burned all those women and children down in Waco, Texas for the children. I'm sure all those children and families would have rather remained unburned, unmurdered by the government than have that be their destiny. Millions of people fall through this, and they walk into it voluntarily. But if not, when they're done trying the soft war, the volunteer route, they've made it quite clear that they're willing to use force. Do you remember this compassion that was led out and espoused throughout the agrarian revolution? Do you remember Stalin? His passionate cries? We're just simply moving 5 million people and farmers onto collective farms owned by the government because their land cannot be controlled by them for future generations. They don't know how to do it right. And those 5 million died on their way. And remember when they give you quotes like a vast strengthening of the multilateral system, and that's why they want a global consumption tax that I covered last week, and that is to support an independent United Nations police force, ladies and gentlemen, bar none. And in many cases, through the threats of terrorism and environmental catastrophe, people run in flocks to give up their very freedom for a little temporary safety. It's never happened in the history of mankind, ladies and gentlemen. And once you relinquish your freedom, you will not give it back. And that perceived benefit at the time, whether that be safety from terrorism or manipulation of the money system so you can be safe from economic catastrophe. Just remember that as their ideas change, so do their propaganda tools, and so do their emergencies. The message is they intend to take everything you possess. They will decide what type of living accommodations you are to receive, how much food, what types. They'll not only tell you where to live, but how you will control what little bit they give you that they feel is appropriate for you. They will determine what type of jobs you have. You can already see those programs instituted within the high schools. And where you will even labor. When and where, if you can even have children, what will be their education. They'll locate you where you need to be, the most beneficial for the state at the time. Regardless of your wishes, ladies and gentlemen. Justice will be kept out of the courts. They will control through law and order and force. And your very desires and goals and dreams and human rights will take a back seat to the new society they are creating. And I'm going to digress from the Maurice Strong issue tonight. I instead want to, I think, as I looked through my notes here during that musical break and looked at what I had intended for later on this week to cover, I think it'd be a nice refresher for many of you, because many of you certainly need it, about the U.S. Constitution. What is it? And can it defend our rights? Can we just say, oh, the Constitution says that and that's good enough? Can it? What is the Constitution? It's hardly anything more than any other piece of paper with lofty words on it. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. But its real value lies in what makes it important. And it's the concept that it expresses, the values and guarantees it sets forth, and the inspiration it instills in the hearts of the American people. That is what makes it important. That's what differentiates the U.S. Constitution from just other lofty gold documents sitting in archives somewhere. The values it guarantees and sets forth. The concepts it expresses. That is its real power. It makes us and made us unique from any other nation on the face of the earth throughout history. It's inspired us throughout history to revere it, to hold it in awe, to protect it and defend it with our lives if necessary. But that is also its weakness, ladies and gentlemen. It's nothing more than an inanimate object. It doesn't have an army to defend it. It can't do anything by itself. It relies on the faith and spirit of people for its defense. And we've assumed for way too long, or many people have at least, assumed for way too long that because it does state such lofty goals and ideals and individual rights and freedoms for all people, that all people would inherently respect it and abide by those ideals as the law of the land. But the very day that people inside and outside of governments throughout history find out that the people under the government are apathetic and complacent, they realize they can get away with infringing your rights. They always start slowly, slowly weakening your will, your education, and they do it through devious ways and a thousand different ways at any given time. It's about control, ladies and gentlemen. Benjamin Franklin warned us we would forever have to defend it, for there would always be someone trying to take it from us. That's right, our constitutional republic. And for the last 100 years especially, but really you can look at a point in the mid-1800s, we have allowed it to be eaten away slowly, piece by piece, bit by bit, and allow it to be eroded so that much of the Constitution seems invalid. But it's not, ladies and gentlemen. People will claim that it's outdated, it's old, no longer applies to today's society. Looking around the world today, would you want a group of 56 framers and signers to gather today and rewrite a new constitution? I don't think so. Do you think, honestly, that it would express the ideas and freedoms that are expressed in our constitution? No, it wouldn't. And by what authority do these people claim to have the right to deprive you of the rights set forth in our Constitution? By what authority? Your authority, ladies and gentlemen, through your apathy and complacency and ignorance. That's right. You gave them permission. The Constitution needs stalwart patriots to defend it, to watch over it, to secure it, to guard it for all people. It can't do that by itself sitting in a glass case in Washington, D.C. It will soon be nothing but a mere icon of a pastime. And the way things go occasionally, even those who of us who are very active in this fight, incredibly active, in many ways more so than we can express to you on the air, that if you listen and watch, you can see it. Or if you get active and join in, you can definitely see it. We even at times in all this dreariness like, believe it or not, some levity. And a couple weeks ago, me and my good friend and partner George were just talking about pretty soon the only group that's going to be anything or matter anymore or make any sense will be entitled the way things used to be group. I used to do this and that, but then they took it away. I used to be able to own this and that, but then they took it away. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a scary thought. Now, those who hide under the cloak of environmentalism, when you look at all their underlying writings, I've covered tons of quotes and statistics and dates and publication numbers over the last 2-3 weeks. They all lead to control of the population and the world under the yoke of world socialism, the new world order. They actively seek power in every direction. And those in government are aiding and abetting who just stand back and do nothing. In times past, subversive actions like we see now in our government every day by so-called elected officials would be called treason. However, in these more enlightened times, terms like subversion and treason aren't politically correct anymore. And people are afraid to be pragmatic, dogmatic. They're afraid to be classified as anti-environmental, anti-government, radical. Even when it's in defense of our very Constitution protecting everyone's freedom. See, those are little coined phrases and words used heavily in the propaganda apparatus. Because then you look to be the alien. The, he's got cooties over there. He thinks the Constitution's important. He's a radical. He's anti-environment. He wants to see the earth destroyed. And that's generally not the case, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, I rarely have ever found that to be the case. Stand up in a meeting, ladies and gentlemen, and say, I believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. It is being attacked by radical elements in our country, but I intend to defend it with my very life if necessary. And see how quickly people shun you. Our group has done that all over the Western United States. I don't care if they shun me, because that just tells me they were nothing but an interloper, a burden, a leech. We've become a nation afraid to say what we believe in, and that we believe in our rights and freedoms. You must once again, ladies and gentlemen, be willing to stand up and tell politicians, administrations, non-government organizations, what have you, we are your boss. I have done so hundreds and hundreds of times, and you ought to see the look of shock on their face when you tell them that. And most people deep down know that. They know something's wrong. But they're afraid to take the lead. But once you find a group of compatriots in your area, there is strength in numbers. Physically, psychologically, emotionally. And you'll find that people that you didn't know were your friends come out of the woodwork. And others that you thought were your friends disappear, and that's a good thing. You didn't need them around leeching and sucking off you anyway. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, if you look around this country, those who would steal your freedoms and your rights to travel, to ownership, to land, to food, to free will, to self-enterprise and self-determination, they're not afraid to outright say it in the open. For too long, the patriot in this country has turned into a coward and been a coward. And for too long, this nation of cowards has been allowed to continue and prevail. We're the only ones to blame, ladies and gentlemen. When you allow yourself to be frightened into complacency, apathy, they will continue to feed on you like wolves. You are the only one who can stop it. The Constitution cannot get up out of that glass case and fight it out for you. Its power lies in your heart and is dependent upon your will and your determination. If you do not have the will to resist the efforts being made to erode our freedoms, if you don't have the will, the determination to fight for those rights enumerated in that very document, if you're not willing to stand side by side with others and stand up and say it openly to defend it to the death if need be, then this document, the Constitution, will just be thrown in the dustbin. And in 100 years, it will be erased from history, from the minds of their descendants, and history will be rewritten to omit any mention of what a great nation this once was. If you're afraid to fight for freedom, you're not deserving of it, nor will you have it. If you become a slave in a one-world socialist state, it will be because you did not have the heart and determination and the will to resist this grab of power that is taking place at this very pivotal point in time in our history. I hope to God literally and pray that He will rekindle through information and fact and common sense in people throughout this country the concepts embodied in our Constitution and the need to defend it for the future. The liberty which embodies lies in your hands, ladies and gentlemen, yours and mine. But I can't do everything for everybody. You need to get involved. The very freedom and independence of our nation is at stake. It is us who must defend the Constitution, not the Constitution who must defend us. And ladies and gentlemen, what is socialism? Let's take a look at it real quick. Any of the various economic and political theories advocating collection of government ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. A system or condition of society in which the means of production are owned and controlled by the state. A state of society in Marxist theory transitional between capitalism and communism and distinguished at the time by unequal distribution of goods and pay according to work done. And a system of society or group in which there is no private property. In communism, the next step is elimination of private property. And a totalitarian system of government in which a single authoritarian party can control state-owned means of production with the aim of establishing a stateless society. And it's the final state of society in Marxist theory in which the state has withered away and economic goods are distributed equally. Ladies and gentlemen, get the hint, or one day we'll all be hearing messages like this.
America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work.
Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.